everybody. Welcome to another episode of We're Not Fine.
Hi. I hope this finds you well.
We are really excited to launch a new, it's not really a new season per se, but it is the beginning of May and it is Mental Health Awareness Month. And I think for Doug and I, it's our actual mental health awareness lifetime. But welcome to our club. It's all we want to do is talk about mental health awareness. So
all we want. Anyway, I feel like singing all the time. I just did karaoke last night, which
Doug
is
has a song.
Why my voice is a little low.
What did I tell you that you sounded like this morning when we talked on the phone?
That I got coughed up by a dirty inmate.
I didn't say dirty.
Hairy.
Horny.
Horny. All of the above. I am very excited about this. You know, I think attachment styles are something we've talked about a great deal. And so we're going to do a few different episodes in a row and kind of do a series on like discerning. And what I love is that a lot of the people that I'm working with are kind of going through this process of understanding what their attachment styles when we work with couples, right?
Yeah.
And it's really fascinating. So I think there are situations that come up for every couple, and it's important to kind of understand what's going on.
What Doug and I were wanting to do, basically, we got three mailbags in a row. I think one of them's Reddit, and we'll let you know which one. But because there were some really cute responses. But the idea is, you're probably wondering in your own relationship, is this an attachment style issue, or is it just not a great fit? And in one of them, it's, is it relationship OCD? Is it disorganized attachment? Is it just this person loves their dog more than they loves me? Loves me, love me.
That works. You know, and the other thing that comes up for Talia and I in this conversation is that there's so many different variables. So we talk about attachment. We talk about Enneagram. We talk about introvert, extrovert. We talk about all different things that come up for people to help analyze their relationships.
Yeah.
And all of them are relevant. All of them are worthy of consideration, but we're going to focus on like the attachment piece of this as it relates to these three series.
Tease them out with us.
Tease them out. I'm going to read the first one. This one's really kind of fun. Mm-hmm. So this one, funny enough, is about, you know, a dog. So I'm going to read this. Me and my partner, they're 28 and 27, both female, have been together for 3, going on 4 years. They moved into an apartment at the beginning of the year. I'm going to read from their perspective. I love her and I do desperately want to continue to do life with her. When things are good, it's great. We're best friends and love and laugh together. She's not heavy on affection with me, which has been fine before. We're not fine before, but after moving in and seeing her show consistent affection to her dog, it bothers me that I don't receive a fraction of that love.
This is not an uncommon story, by the way.
Are you speaking for personal experience?
Yes. I've heard that. I have a couple of couples that I'm working with that this is like an actual problem.
The main issue I have with her is that when things go south, she gets mad at me and will ignore me and act like I don't exist. She leaves to the spare bedroom for sometimes days at a time and takes her dog with her. I'm super loving, always giving compliments and trying to make her smile by any means necessary. I pay for things, kiss her when she gets home from work, and asks her about her day, which has caused arguments as well because she said she needs to decompress when she gets home from work. And I have no issue with that, but she'll come into our home, ignore me, don't even speak or greet, but she'll speak to and greet her dog. Those times she ignores me for days really fucks with my mental health because I'm being serious about her completely acting like I don't exist. I've told her this. After a few months, I can tell I'm not the same and it's damaging me. Please, am I overthinking or overreacting to all this? I don't feel jealous of her dog, just not understanding how he's so worthy of so much love, but I'm not.
It's heartbreaking.
Well, okay.
Doug's not heartbroken.
I'm not heartbroken.
I've really heard personal stories of this, and it's very interestingly often in like anxious attachment, avoidant attachment. And I will say that I think the one most painful part when I hear this is that there's a lack of consistency and a lack of communication, right? So if we're going to tease out if it's an attachment disorder or if this person just isn't really a great partner, and maybe those two are the same thing, but you can't abandon your relationship for days at a time in your own house and not say where you're going. Like, even if you have avoidant issues, the least you could do is say, like, I'm not always cut out for partnership. And there are times where I'm going to need a long stretch to decompress, and I can communicate that with you. But a lot of times with attachment, it's a nervous system issue, and it's not someone trying to be an asshole. But in this situation, of course, it's messing with this poor person that their partner leaves for days at a time and hides in the guest room. This is what I wanted to say, though, that there is a dog lover's caveat.
I was waiting.
You can't compare a relationship with a human to a relationship with a dog. I mean, it's really like comparing a festival to like a nap or something, because like a relationship with a dog, they are literally put on this planet to be comfort and loving, and their only need is for you to just give them their your presence as is. They don't need anything from you. They're not criticizing you. They don't want you to change a diaper or make dinner or talk about your day. So it's like a real life-giving relationship is what I was going to say. That doesn't mean you should be super kind to your dog and horrible to your partner.
Well, and let's talk a little bit. We kind of skimmed it earlier when you were talking about avoidant attachment, but let's talk about what avoidant attachment really looks like. So, and I want to talk about the origins of, so oftentimes people who have avoidant attachment grew up in an environment where their feelings and emotions and their thoughts and their ideas were not validated. They weren't safe to say. They did not get that opportunity to have an expression that was really, again, acknowledged and safe and validated. But there's a part of that that when someone has that experience, they really struggle with a sense of deserving and worthiness for that real intimate connection with somebody. And I'm not sure. I mean, one of the things that we're talking about is like, what is this? Mm-hmm. And so if I were working with this couple, I would try to figure out like, what is the origin of this person who goes away for days at a time, gets frustrated when you say, how was your day? Because there's a lot of ways of answering that. And I'm somebody who actually does do okay if I need to, if I can talk about my day for real without having any limitation. But if I also have alone time to just decompress, it takes me about an hour after a busy day, right? Mm-hmm. So we all decompress differently. And that transition from work to home is really an important thing to consider for most people. But in this case, it sounds like this person gets upset. It is not about the dog. It's not personal to you. The one thing I would say about avoidant attachment is don't take it personally, folks. It's not about you. It's about, you know, the person who has a hard time connecting at that level and expressing themselves. So I would say that your girlfriend has a lot of work to do on expressing herself in an adaptive, clear, direct way. Asking for what you want and need is going to be her task. So as I take a look at this, but that's what avoidant people do. And one of the things that you said is that your personality or the way that you are is changing. And oftentimes people who are in relationships with avoidant personality or avoidant attachment people oftentimes kind of create anxiety in their attachment. So it's kind of this unfortunate cycle where you, I think, are probably becoming more anxious and not able to, like, probably walking a little bit on eggshells about like, how was your day? If that becomes such an issue and you know there's going to be days of a consequence, you're probably not going to do it the same way anymore. And so you have to talk about what that is.
And, you know, Doug, you're talking about like, don't take it personally. Yeah. And he's 1000% right. But when you're in a relationship, it's almost impossible not to take it personally.
Right.
Because yes, they are actually avoiding you. But if you think about yourself as symbolic of their avoiding the effort and energy it takes to be consistently connected, consistently attached.
They're avoiding their feelings.
Yes. Yeah. And like being with your dog doesn't take any of that. It doesn't require you to be a great communicative, healthy adult.
Yeah.
It just needs you to like silently comfort. And so it's not.
A dog is safe. I mean, let's just put it out there. I mean, a dog is safe. A dog's not going to ask you how about your day. A dog's not going to have a lot of needs or wants. And it's one of the benefits of a pet. I mean, it's kind of why I think a lot of people, everyone, when they lose a pet. Absolutely.
Oh my God,
I mean,
it's like a family member.
You know, it's why we have therapeutic animals. So,
so Doug and I were going to tell you a couple of thoughts we had of like, okay, so you're in love with someone that has avoidant attachment. Here are a few thoughts we had about what could help you improve this relationship. Of course, we highly recommend they're doing their own work, but let's just say you're the only one listening to this podcast right now. So here are some thoughts.
In which case, you know, maybe this is a podcast that you offer them. And I love what you started out with there, Talia, because I think that person needs to understand what their tendencies are and probably do some therapy to understand how the family of origin or the people that they were around growing up kind of made their life unsafe for them to express themselves.
That's right.
So I might say, and I'm going to go a little bit all over the place with this, but I think one of the pieces that I would suggest for you is to really understand what avoidant attachment is. And so doing some research on it, there's a dude on Instagram. I wish I remembered his name, Coach Ryan, maybe. I don't know. He is brilliant on these issues and he speaks specifically to avoidant attachment.
Yeah.
And it is just so spot on and he goes really nuanced. So kind of check out some resources online on Instagram or any other, you know, format. I'm sure there are other podcasts specific to this as well. But I would say do your research on this because it will help you depersonalize and help you understand. So I would say number one, do your research, understand what this is, and then also understand what it is for you to be in a relationship with someone with avoidant attachment styles and figure out how you can avoid getting anxious and kind of changing who you are.
Yeah,
right?
1,000%. So also another caveat, it might not be a great fit for you. You get to own that. Like if your person is not doing their work, you really do get to say, I don't know if this is working for me. It's making me feel really anxious. It makes me feel like even if it's not personal, why do I have to do all of this work with someone who clearly doesn't want to be with me all the time? So.
Well, and part of that, to jump onto that, is creating that safety, right?
Yes,
like making sure that that person is heard for what their process is. And if they are working on it, which again, I hope they're in therapy or maybe the two of you seek some couples therapy. The reality is if you can identify like what that person needs in order to express themselves, that can improve over time. So if you create a safe environment, and I have so many people who have gotten angry at their partner for stuff like this. So they get angry and they're like, I'm getting really pissed. You're like avoiding me.
Right.
That doesn't create that safety that people need in order to express themselves. And it's really, guys, it's really simple. And yet it's really hard, but it's really simple. And it boils down to that person has to figure out who they are and where they're avoidant attachment comes from, but also just start talking about those feelings, really just putting them out there in a way that they can receive safety and they can receive affirmation for who they are. So your task in this relationship is to provide that environment. So when that person talks about their feelings, like ask the question, can you tell me what's going on for you?
That's right.
Tell me more. Tell me how you're feeling. Tell me what your thoughts are. And making sure that you listen to that person and validate what they tell you.
That's right. And not overreact or speak loudly or angrily. And like, and because that's also a piece of this. If you think about how people develop avoidant attachment to begin with, it's usually they have a very different relationship with the idea of needs and feelings. And maybe one of their primary caregivers who did some harm along the way, whether they meant to or not, it's possible that this person learned that in order to have the caregiver stick around and take care of them, they needed to not be needy. They needed to be quiet and the other person couldn't tolerate them having thoughts, feelings, needs. Maybe the primary caregiver's thoughts, feelings, and needs were scary. Maybe they took up way too much room and they never learned how to have a healthy relationship with needs. So they might also experience a partner who, if you're healthy, you're speaking directly about your thoughts, feelings, and needs. And the avoidant partner might feel like this is you being confrontational or needy or disappointed or wanting more from them than they're capable of, because they might not even have any awareness of what is it? It's sort of like they don't have any awareness of an interrelational, like interdependence of sharing that emotional life with another person.
Yeah. It's really tough, you know, and yet if that person understands what their issues are, and going back to this, it's really just, again, that simple to express thoughts, feelings, wants, and needs, and making sure that those are validated. I might also say, I mean, it really does require patience, right? So as you go through this process, just remember all of the pieces that we told you about making sure you don't take it personally, making sure that you don't get upset and create that false sense of like not being able to express that person's experience. But I want to go to the dog part in particular as well. I mean, just remember that the dog is not the issue.
Yes.
The dog is probably a helpful means by which this person might have that safety. And so you don't have to act like a dog or anything like that. But
except it's like the preferred partner. The dog is the preferred partner. Maybe a good suggestion would also be like, can you try to get in there and love the dog too and have the dog be your vehicle towards more intimacy?
We'll see.
One last thought is, I don't know, maybe it's not an attachment. I don't know. This kind of feels like if it's not an attachment disorder, this person needs to do some work on consistently communicating and finding better ways to be managing their desire for alone time. But it might be helpful for a partner of someone who has some avoidant tendencies to think about alone time as literally a love language and as like a gift that you could give somebody with your blessing. If you have a full, interesting life, can you be seeing this alone time as something to regulate their nervous system? In an ideal world, you can give that with love, and the partner is also letting you know, I need more than your average bear's worth of alone time to regulate. That doesn't mean I don't love you, but...
Well, and we're talking about introversion versus extroversion with that comment as well. Because, you know, some people who replenish by being alone, and I do some of that as well. I was just on a trip to Ireland and realized that I just needed time alone in my hotel room to just sit and be in quiet in order to kind of replenish and get back to my life. But that's the thing. Like, I go conflict avoidant. I go all kinds of different ways with this, right? But I think the bottom line is finding out what that person needs to feel like they can come back to the relationship safely is what you're talking about. Like, maybe they need alone time to do that. So lots of different strategies here that we hope are helpful.
Another
all over the place, by the way. And everyone is individual. That's the problem, right? Like, at some point, figuring out kind of what their circumstance is and what they need.
And I'm thinking about this avoidant and anxious sort of attachment cycle. Also, like you were talking about good resources, I found this really great one online. It's I Go to Therapy. It's from Instagram, but it's really awesome. And we can have a picture in the show notes, but it's like, what does an anxious to avoidant cycle even look like? And I kind of wanted to go through that because it's interesting.
Okay.
So anxious partner tries to create more closeness. Like, I miss you. Why aren't we connecting? Avoidant partner gets overwhelmed by intensity and withdraws as a coping mechanism. Withdrawing triggers anxious partner who tries to create more closeness again, often through clinginess or acting out. Avoidant partner gets more overwhelmed and withdraws more, which triggers anxious partner even more. Then there's often a period of no contact or major conflict. Feelings of guilt, frustration, confusion, dysregulation, it blows up in most of these relationships. And then brief reconciliation, avoidant partner finally feels regulated enough to reciprocate, and anxious partner is soothed. And then we continue on and on. Anyway, it explains everything when you think about the fact that with attachment, often we're triggering each other's worst nightmares and worst fears.
And I would say in general, I mean, I think the goal is to know yourself and be able to communicate what it is that you need. I think that's the bottom line.
That's right.
So communication is still the key.
Communication is key. Thanks, guys. I hope you got some value out of today. We've got a couple of other mailbags to kind of discern. Is it attachment or something else? So tune in. If you want to find us online, we are on Instagram, Douglas L. Jensen with an E-N, Dr. Talia Jackson, and We're Not Fine Pod. And we're on YouTube and TikTok.
Yeah. And also, we'renotfine.com. Go to our website and you can put any information in there that you want us to talk about. Ask questions, make comments. You can make comments on the YouTube channel as well. We've had some interesting conversations happening online. So go to we'renotfine.com if you have any additional questions. If you have your own circumstance and you want to know, like, is this avoidant? Is it something else? What is our attachment issues that are going on? We'd love to hear from you.
And feel free to like, subscribe, send to a friend, a boyfriend, a girlfriend, a partner, a lover, a thruple, your neighbor, your worst enemy. We always want you to like send it to people you hate too. We've got some good personality disorder ones that you could send.
Take care, everybody.
Bye.
This podcast represents the opinions of our hosts and guests. The content here should not be taken as medical advice and is for informational purposes only. This podcast also does not establish a standard of care, doctor-patient, or client relationship. No guarantee is given regarding the accuracy of any statements or opinions made on the podcast or website. And because each person is so unique, all listeners are encouraged to connect with counseling and medical professionals for assistance with their personal journey. All people, places, and scenarios mentioned in the podcast have been changed to protect the privacy of those involved.